Board of Directors elections are underway. KBOO members can vote for up to 4 candidates. Ballots were mailed in mid-August. If you think you are a KBOO member and have not received a ballot, email Membership Director Andrew Geller at membership@kboo.org or call 503-231-8032, extension 207. Non-members can join KBOO and receive a ballot to vote. Just go to kboo.fm and click Donate on the top right-hand corner. The annual meeting is Sunday, September 15th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Matt Dishman Community Center at 77 Northeast Knott Street in Portland. You can mail back your ballot or bring it to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Ballots must be postmarked by September 10th or cast at the annual meeting by 2:40 p.m. to count. Get informed, get involved, and vote. Thanks.
Cascadia. Today is Monday, September 9th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Another day, another timber sale with Clear Cut written all over it, and Jefferson County plans to join Northern California in seceding from the rest of the nation. More and more parents are pulling their children out of standardized testing all across the country. The groundswell of outrage at No Child Left Behind, which is a hybrid concocted by the Bush administration of an earlier planned upgrade the educational system, which would have worked. We never hear very much about that these days, do we? And the strange saga of journalist Barrett Brown continues. The Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations go further underground, and President Obama goes Hollywood, hitting the boards in the name of all war, all the time. First, the weather. Well, this morning we've got a bit of fog starting out. Otherwise, later on in the afternoon, clearing, partly sunny skies, and then you'll wind up eventually with a high around 81. Not much in the way of a wind tonight. Clear skies, lows around 60. And for tomorrow, sunny, highs near 90. I'm not sure if the weather service is okay on that, but there it is. And for tomorrow night, clear with a low around 63, calm winds. The alternative forecast, we've got a waxing crescent flower moon in Libra. The moon is 4 days old. Synodic forecast, they're recommending sowing leafy vegetables and annuals that produce above ground. And again, suggestion grains, think cover crops, think for that matter, edible cover crops. The synodic people say that it's not a good time to pick vegetables if they are to be stored. Permaculture note here, whatever you plant, make sure it does at least three things. Biodynamic outlook, with the moon in Libra, it's an air sign, it's a good time to sow flowering plants, and not so good for rooting things. The sidereal forecast, moon in Virgo, and wait for it, dry and barren, good time for garden maintenance. They're cautious, the sidereal folks. And that's it for both the alternative and the conventional weather forecasts. And that's said and done. We're going to take a look at the recent affront to the dignity of the environment. Another timber sale coming down the pike. This one complicated by the fact that it's also... involves the Bureau of Indian Affairs. They plan to log more than 500 acres in the Middle Fort Coquille River watershed. For those who are familiar with the area, then that is, and think clear cut, that this is something to really get you standing up and shaky with rage. For everyone else, it's an area that's home to both the northern spotted owl and the marbled murrelet. Both are endangered species. And what the plan is a very radical despoliation of the entire landscape. We're speaking today with Nick Cady with Cascadia Wildlands. Good morning, Nick. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, three groups, and of course, Cascadia Wildlands perhaps leading the charge, have come out opposed to this and are fighting it. The plan to Misail, well, it's the Coquille Forest for listeners, if they hear other, if they hear reports on this. 5,400-acre forest managed by the Bureau of Indian Affairs in trust for the Coquille Indian Tribe. Can you talk, what's different about this particular timber sale, other than the fact that it's blatant clear-cutting? I mean...
Yeah, in practicality, there's not very much different. This is federal land that's held for the public for a multiple benefit, so it's very similar to all other, you know, BLM and Forest Service land that we have in Oregon. It's just managed by a different federal agency, which is the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And this timber sale radically violates a number of environmental laws. And with the combined effects of this sale, the Coquille sale, and the previous sale, the Razzler sale, which a lot has yet to be logged as well, there were just gross environmental effects. So we finally stepped in and filed a lawsuit about it.
Well, very often laws are different on Indian and land that is indigenous peoples. Is that going to enter into the proceedings, as you said, this is pretty standard?
No,
in that respect,
I don't think
well.
So. The land was given to the Bureau of Indian Affairs, was put in trust for the Coquille Tribe with the understanding, the explicit understanding, this is in federal law, that they have to follow basically all the laws that every other federal land managing agency in Oregon follows. And that's very explicit, and they just are not doing that in this case.
What's it going to take to stop it?
Well, I think our lawsuit will stop it.
Yeah, that for starters. But it seems that it's, you know, the sort of a Sisyphusian type of a task. It seems every time there's one timber sale after another keep popping up across Cascadia, and it's a never ending. Is there these are two endangered creatures, and they do in some respects stand in for all of us, and preserving their habitat means preserving human habitat as well. Given that, what are the chances of an umbrella lawsuit that would take that into account and stop logging, a moratorium on logging for a reasonable period of time?
Yeah, I think lawsuits have their place in the world of making change. And you know, Cascadia Wildlands tends to fight practical on-the-ground projects every little step of the way. But for broader programmatic change, you know, more than just lawsuits are needed. I mean, there has to be, you know, broader interest by the public and support by the public or opposition by the public against these projects. Because after all, it's the politicians that we elect in the office that are pushing a lot of these projects.
Nick, thank you so much for that. My guest, Nick Cady, is a legal director of Cascadia Wildlands, fighting the never-ending fight to preserve what's left of our forest. Thanks so much for being with us. Do you want to give the listeners a place to go where they can get more information and follow the progress of the lawsuit?
Yes, please. You can go to our website at www.caskwild.org. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you very much. We have more news from around Cascadia. Just a few headlines. Supporters of a Tea Party-inspired effort to secede from California are encouraging Jackson County to rally behind the creation of the state of Jefferson. This has been bandied about amongst Tea Party members for some time now. And however silly it seems, it is symptomatic of a groundswell of this Tea Party movement in rural areas. Basically opposed to exactly what we were talking about just now. Healthcare workplaces, the healthcare is shifting more and more to the workplace as the government seems to be losing its grip on reality, not so much in Oregon, but certainly across the country. We've seen this in Wisconsin, and we've heard from Citizen Action Wisconsin. We'll be hearing more from them, too, in the coming weeks. Right now, though, before we move on to other stories, we're very fortunate to have Mattia Kramer join us today. Whatever else is going on, and everyone is thinking Syria, and everyone, I think, is concerned about the madness of what President Obama is proposing. Mattia, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
So here we have the specter of President Obama going on, and for that matter, Kerry, Secretary of State John Kerry as well, springing from one television show to another, attempting to persuade a cautious, reluctant public to head straight into the eye of the storm and make everything worse. There is nothing, as far as I can see, that would be improved by any form of strike on Syria. And not only that, of course, it's there are legal issues as well. Where do you see what effect do you suppose that the president's efforts will have?
Well, our work at National Priorities Project is to analyze, of course, the cost of what a strike would be and how much we spend every day in this country on our already existing wars in Afghanistan and still activities in Iraq. It's not clear whether President Obama will be able to persuade the public and Congress to go along with his plan to engage in military intervention in Syria. But what's overwhelmingly clear, of course, is that so much is unknown about how something would unfold, what ultimately our involvement there would be, and certainly how much it would cost.
And that, of course, is what I think that when people hear this stuff on the news programs, that's one of their top concerns, because, of course, employment is non-existent and the schools are instead of educating people, we teach to test, and our infrastructure is collapsing around us. So people are reluctant to head into something like this. And there's so many other factors as well. What are the likely costs, and how would it impact Americans directly?
Well, what we're hearing right now are cost estimates on the very low end of the scale, numbers that may sound big to us ordinary Americans, something like tens of billions or hundreds of billions of dollars. But for the Pentagon, those are tiny figures, rounding error, essentially, in the Pentagon's budget. What's important to remember is that when we went into Iraq, Bush administration officials thought that $60 billion was a high-end estimate for what we would spend on the war in that country. And to date, we've spent more than $800 billion on Iraq and still counting. So there's very much at stake for ordinary Americans, because we have to choose as a country to devote our tax dollars to another military engagement instead of some of the domestic priorities that you were just mentioning, whether it's education, infrastructure improvements, and so forth.
People have a hard time seeing the sense of it. We are completely at out of time, barely. And I would just, before I let you go, thank you so much for joining us today. Very grateful to you for being with us. And can you let listeners know where they can find out more about the actual costs of these types of all war, all the time policies?
Absolutely. Folks should go to nationalpriorities.org. And we have a new page called Cost of National Security, and you'll see the cost of wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and the cost right now of the weapon system that we're considering striking Syria with, the Tomahawk cruise missile.
Mazaya Kramer, thank you so much for being with us. There's a great deal more to talk about this morning. The Barrett Brown story is heating up, and perhaps we'll get to tomorrow. This has been our Cascadia for Monday, September 9th, 2013. My engineer this morning is Joe Clement. Thanks so much for that, Joe. Kathleen Stevenson is KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.